welcome to this week's edition to Documentation Station. Thank you for joining me here on this podcast. My name is Steve Welton. If you've just stumbled upon this podcast, I'm a consultant specializing in supporting behavioral health clinicians on treatment record documentation. My consulting business is at weltonconsulting.com. I started this podcast as a place to discuss a range of topics related to behavioral health clinical documentation, insurance audits, and other topics that may be of interest to clinicians. Today, I'm going to be focusing my attention on the topic of treatment planning. Specifically, I want to open a conversation about the whole idea of developing SMART goals. Now, I know many clinicians hate the idea of treatment plans. I have heard a wide range of complaints around why treatment plans are a waste of time and they just get in the way of doing therapy. I was in that place at one point in time as a clinician, and then my eyes were opened on how I could make treatment plans an amazing tool in my work with my clients. And then, later as an auditor, I saw how clinicians who were really good at treatment planning were more consistently effective with clients meeting their goals for treatment and getting to the point of a successful discharge. So, I'm a fan of good treatment plans. Now, I won't be trying to tackle all of the conversation about all of the pros and cons of effective treatment planning in one podcast. So I'm going to tackle it in pieces. And today I'm going to start in the middle. Just so we all are in the same place, let's start with a bit of level setting. As we all know, a treatment plan is the document you create to establish the work you and your client are going to be focused on in psychotherapy. If you're going to be doing psychotherapy, which I assume you are, there is an expectation that the treatment plan will exist, that this is the standard worldwide community practice. While there can be a lot of parts to the plan, for the purpose of today's conversation, let's talk about the three main parts: the goals, the objectives, and the interventions. When you think about the goals, you want to be thinking about those broad targets for psychotherapy. Now, when I'm training my clinician clients on topic of goals, we focus on what will have been reached, which will signal that it's time to successfully discharge the client from therapy. So, at the other end of the treatment plan chain, there are the interventions. Now, interventions are the tools you bring to the psychotherapeutic process. What modalities will you employ? What will you teach? What will the client employ to help decrease symptoms, address deficits, and strengthen functioning? Then in the middle, there are the short-term goals. Those are called objectives. The objectives are the steps of the progress that the client makes, which brings them closer to achieving the goal. That thing that establishes the direction of treatment. As early as the 19th century, American writer and philosopher Elbert Hubbard was recognizing that many people failed in their endeavors, not because they lacked the intellect or the courage, but because they didn't organize their efforts around goals. He also coined the oft-used quote around the topic that a goal without a plan is a dream. Seems like an obvious concept, regardless of how you think about treatment plans, but goals are not necessarily SMART goals. It would take a century to get to a clearer concept of effective goal making. Now, noted management consultant Peter Drucker took the world to the first step with the notion of specific and measurable objectives leading to the completion of goals. And this was all the rage in the 1940s and 50s in the post-World War II engineering environment. But these goals were not still SMART. In fact, many would argue that while being specific helped develop plans, they often became too complicated and many times just not achievable. The construct of SMART goals was first laid out in a publication by George T. Duran of Spokane, Washington. Mr. Duran was a consultant and former director of corporate planning for Washington Water Power Company. So, not a psychotherapist, nor did he work for a health insurance company for that matter. You actually might be surprised how often the world of behavioral health treatment borrows from the world of business, law, and engineering. So, in 1981, Duran publishes a paper entitled, "There's a Smart Way to Write Management's Goals and Objectives." Duran's thesis was that there could be an effective way to treat meaningful objectives, a frame of a statement of results to be achieved in a way that made them achievable and have a clear understanding of when they were actually achieved. So, enter the SMART goal. And of course, when I say SMART goal, I really mean SMART objective, but so, SMART goal. So, what is a SMART goal? SMART is, of course, an acronym, and the components include specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-bound. The SMART goal. So let's break down what each element actually means. First, specific. The target should be in a specific area for improvement. Simply improving depression is not a specific objective. An objective which improves sleep, social interactions, reduces frequency of tearfulness, or social isolation, all might be appropriate targets for an individual with those symptoms. Measurable. Now, this one trips a lot of people up. The measurability means to quantify, or at least some suggestion of an indicator of progress. If it's not clear what you're looking to accomplish in an objective, it's hard to know when you get there. Now, not all objectives need to have a specific 5 days a week or 3 days a week sound to them. But you want to make sure that there is some means of sorting out progress. Next, attainable. Can you do it? Now, this is a little bit of a deviation from Duran's original outline where A stood for assignable. Of course, the objectives in psychotherapy are not going to be assigned for us. All objectives are assigned essentially to the identified client. So, to the world of behavioral health, they've done a little bit of editing to replace the A with attainable. And actually, it's also used in business and law as well now. This criteria reminds me of an old bad joke. A man who says, "Doctor, when I'm better, will I be able to play the violin?" Doctor says, "Yes, of course you will." Man says, "That's great. I've never been able to play the violin before." Objectives should not include magical thinking. They should be things the client will be able to attain or achieve, and more importantly, what they can reasonably believe that they can attain. If they don't believe that they can attain an objective, you're probably moving too quickly on that goal. So find a smaller step that will get them ready to be able to see the ability to achieve that step that seemed insurmountable at that point in time. Next, relevant. I know, this seems obvious, but you'd be surprised the number of times I've seen in treatment plans that I've reviewed over the years with a really clear long-term goal, followed by a whole string of objectives that have nothing at all to do with achieving that long-term goal. If the goal is the destination in treatment, then the objectives are the waypoints along the way that get the client there. Another way of thinking about it, if I'm traveling from Chicago to Los Angeles by car, I probably should not have Edinburgh, Scotland as a stop along the way. Time related. Identify when the objective can be achieved. I know. This is one of those crystal ball moments clinicians hate because it can feel impossible to know. So my best advice is to lean on your experience and make your best guess. If the objective will take a year to achieve, maybe the objective is too big and needs to be broken down into smaller parts. Or maybe the objective is perfect and it's just going to take that long to accomplish. Yep. Since you want your client to have a buy-in to the plan, you should sort it out with them to see what they can tolerate. Now, Duran acknowledged in the article that developing good objectives can be a source of anxiety for the creator that many would like to avoid. And yet, he argues, and I would tend to agree, that the objective setting must become a way of life. If you don't have clear objectives that spell out where you are heading in the treatment process, you can end up facing a therapeutic process that does not get you where the client wants to end up. If the client doesn't understand where the two of you are headed, it will be harder for them to be invested in improving, and they will most likely not know what improving will look like. One of the things that you'll appreciate about Duran is that he argued that just because the SMART goal was an acronym, it didn't mean that all of the objectives needed to have all five criteria to be a SMART goal, though he did write that the closer we get to the SMART criteria as a guideline, the smarter the objective will be. And certainly, your payer sources may have a more distinctive understanding of how close we should be to the criteria. So take that all into account as you develop your treatment plan. So, how effective can writing SMART goals be? It's a great question. In at least one published study on the topic in the healthcare field, the researchers found that the implementation of SMART criteria improved the process of setting goals and monitoring treatment, which had a positive impact on patients in the study. Of course, this brings up the reality that on top of writing a good and smart treatment plan, you need to utilize it in the course of treatment. Treatment plans are meant to be used as a roadmap of treatment. There is a longer conversation that we'll have another day, but the short version of this is that if the treatment plan you develop with your client is focused on the things they want to address in treatment, it will be important to use that plan in order to stay on course in treatment, which should ultimately lead you to your client's overall improvement. I know for some of you, treatment planning makes sense and is easy to develop and helps you to drive your practice. And I know this because I've seen it, and I have spoken to some of you about your process. I have also spoken to those clinicians who Don't do treatment plans at all. Think they are a waste of time and know where they are headed intuitively. Now, that 19th century philosopher Hubbard would probably point out that you are making your work significantly harder and that your goals are more a dream. I know, it's possible to make effective treatment plans. They don't need to take an overwhelming amount of time to write, and I know that they make a difference for clients when they have a sense of where they are headed in treatment. Ultimately, it can help you to stay on course in the treatment when you're faced with all of the complexities navigating through the life of your client as you help them to improve their lives. This is Documentation Station.